The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Forget the world. Can Christians agree to disagree? Plus, cross-checking the difference between what Jesus claimed and what other prophets claimed about themselves. And choose. Is it a choice or not?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. 10 digits you need to remember. Keep in mind, any topic is open for a conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, litter campers. Here we go. All right. First, let's give a shout out to Dr. B. Dr. Brandon Brown. You might be thinking, why are you starting off with Dr. Brandon Brown, Dave? Because my wife is there right now. How about that? And that doesn't get me any benefit. Other than I know she's right there right now. He's the director of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson. It's very simple. If you are in back pain, in neck pain, or if you're having a migraine problem, anything along those lines, and you want to meet with somebody who is committed to the process of helping you get better, he is your guy. He is Chiro Extraordinaire. We call him Dr. B. Why? Because it's Dr. Brandon Brown. So you got the B and the B, and that's how that works. His website, drbrandonbrown.com, but doctor is D-R. So drbrandonbrown.com, drbrandonbrown.com. Now, he mentioned the last time he was in the studio about migraine awareness and headache awareness and that there's a difference between a headache and a migraine. And the bottom line is, if you start going down this road with me, I'll just look at you and go, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, sure, yep, uh-huh. I found out that that works in about 30% of the conversations I have anyway. The phone number to call, 972-454-9362. 972-454-9362. If you live like 15, 20 minutes away from Richardson and you're like, well, that's a far way to drive. Here's my response. Is it a far way to drive to get out of pain? Bing. Thank you very much. Okay. We do have two trivia questions that we're going to be doing today, but I want to spend a little more time on this very first segment, which I have entitled, Forget the World, Can Christians Agree to Disagree? Based on a phone call received from Sam yesterday, I wanted to elaborate a little further, not on the topic of tithing, because that's what he called and asked about, but on the topic of you and I maybe not seeing everything the exact same. First and foremost, I want you to look at yourself in complete honesty, and tell me, do you agree with everything you thought 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Some of you could stop right there. 40 years ago, 50 years ago. As you notice that there are things that do change in life, that is a part of it. Now, while people change and cultures change and different things change, of course, the truth does not change. But Sam called and asked a question about tithing. And I want to point something out. Tithing is taught differently by different churches. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but if you go to some churches, if you don't tithe, they believe there'll be a curse. If you try to tithe, they think you're being legalistic, and then everything else falls in between that somewhere, okay? So there is a very specific, direct answer to this question. It is not one most of you are going to appreciate. Nonetheless, it is the biblical truth. And that is, it comes out of Romans 14, 22. I'm going to get to that in a second. But I want you to understand something. The key is for you to be in agreement with God as you and yours best understand it. In other words, if Sam goes to a church and they think you have to tithe, or if he goes to a church and they think you shouldn't tithe, that is neither here nor there, but that is up to Sam to make that decision before the Lord as the best he can as he utilizes Scripture and tries to understand it. Romans 14, 22 says, "So whatever you believe about these things, keep them between yourself and God, because blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves." In other words, when you get to a conclusion, it's important for you to be able to stand in that, not be self-condemning, because that could be the Lord having the Holy Spirit really work on you, or it could be you just knowing you're just trying to get out of something. It could be a whole host of things if you're in this self-condemning position. And so the Scripture says you're blessed if you're doing these things. It's between you and the Lord you make this decision. Now, I want to differentiate, because that is in regards to tithing. That is in regards to a particular element in our Christian faith. Some people are very adamant about it, and some people are not very adamant about it. Got it. Here's what I do know. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with your whole being as for the Lord and not for men. The whole idea is to do this as unto the Lord. So if you're going to be a person who tithes, do it faithfully as unto God. If you're a person that's going to be believes that it's just giving, and I just want to think of it in the principle of giving, and that's how I see the New Testament, and that's how my pastor teaches it, fantastic. If you think, nope, it should be Leviticus-style tithing, super duper. If you think it should be Abrahamic tithing, absolutely bonkers, fantastic, terrific. Nope, I think it should be Hebrews chapter 7, which is the same thing as the Abrahamic, great. If you think it's got to be generous and it can't be, grudgingly, super duper duper. None of those disapply. None of those. You have to make these determinations as a mature Christian. What you can't do is put that type of thing on other Christians. The key is that issue is not a fellowship issue. That's the key. You make the decision, you go with it, you stand firm. It might change. The Lord might change you. It might redirect. You think, well, that's not how I see Scripture. Great, but your brother or sister might see it that way, and there's no point in throwing something at them, even though brothers and sisters tend to do a lot of fighting. I don't know. I think brothers and sisters do a lot of fighting. I've had a brother and a sister for 57 years. I think they're great at a distance. So what I'm trying to say by that is there tends to be a little bit of fighting, okay? That is something that is always there. But it's not an issue whether they're brothers or sisters, is it? So I had a conversation with a person who is in the eschatological realm. He's a big player in the eschatological realm and has written multiple books having to do with prophecy. He's more of a premillennial dispensationalist in how he sees eschatology. That's a really nice way of saying he sees it a particular way. He comes in. We have this meeting. The first thing I ask him, because he's got more books. I mean, he's just got a lot of books. He's Mr. Library that he's written. And first thing I say is eschatology an issue of fellowship? Will you fellowship with other brothers and sisters who don't see the eschatology the same way you do? He said, absolutely. Absolutely I would fellowship with my brothers and sisters. They're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Here's the funniest part. We have the same dad. We are redeemed by the same Savior. We drink of the same Spirit. We're blood relatives. Just some things we don't get along. And so it does come down to, and I know people are like, well, that's kind of cheesy. I don't think it's cheesy at all. In essentials, it's unity. But in non-essentials, it's liberty. In essentials, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. And he's coming back. That redemptive act enables us to be saved. It is given by the grace of God, is received through faith on our end. It's administered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's an essential. There's no bouncing. Okay? But tithes, that's not an essential for fellowship. You seeing it as a premillennial, as a pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation, post, that's not an essential for fellowship. It's a disagreement. It's a brothers and sisters thing. That's a really important element. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ is not just kind of like the dude that it's all built on. Scripture in Colossians 1:18 says he's the head of the church, which is his body. Jesus is the head. You might be an elbow, but you're not the head. You might be a kneecap, but you're not the head. Right? And so it's really important to understand that. And King David said it best. I am a companion to all them that fear you. So got it. Like, we're brothers and we're sisters in the Lord, and we're supposed to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let's keep it. You just might not agree with me on everything. I might not agree with you on everything. I don't think every issue is a major dramatic drop-down issue. I can tell you one thing. Your enemy is not your brother or sister. If you're a Baptist, your enemy is not Pentecostal. If you're a Pentecostal, your enemy is not the Baptist. It's the world that mocks you both. That's where the enemy is. It's as simple as can be. Jesus died for you guys. The application is for you guys. Those that reject, those are not your brothers and sisters. Get it? And all brothers and sisters fight. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Gonna take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Whether you're buying a new home or selling your current home or both, you want to work with somebody who's completely committed to the process and believes it's as important as you do. The answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. In real estate, there are people who get involved to make a few extra dollars. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you're interested in working with somebody who's committed to the process of treating people like family and approaching real estate the way that would be best for you, the answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. With every client, she sees an opportunity to honor the Lord and to do the ministry he has called her to do faithfully. For her, it's not a job. It's a calling. The answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. Call Pam at 817-505-5541 or visit blessedrealtycompany.com. Have a meeting with her at no obligation. She'll be glad to help you and will do whatever she can to be a blessing.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or a 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's right, here in Texas. You know, it didn't rain for me yesterday until I was done with the show, and then I got back. I went to the gym, okay, because I do go to the gym. Now, I am that guy that goes to the gym, and you hear that guy, and he's running on the treadmill, and it sounds like this. Dump, 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 dump. You know, kind of like Dumbo the elephant going on a treadmill. That's how I sound. And so it didn't rain. Everything was fine. And then I got one and a half streets from my house. One and a half streets. Here I make a left-hand turn, and then I make a right turn, then I make a left turn, and boom, right? It started pouring. The door. I mean, it was just like instantaneous rain-o.
Yeah, it happens. Sometimes it'll be raining on your side of the street, but not across the street.
That is so bizarre. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, what happened? I was so thankful that I actually went to 7-Eleven and got something to drink because I was really thirsty, and then got back in my car and then made progress, and then it rained because, I mean, it was pouring. It was incredible. By the way, Wonder Julie, speaking of water in the wall, how's everything going there at the old homestead?
Well, they are about 99% finished. There were a couple pieces of molding that they didn't replace that I noticed. And, of course, you know, when it comes to plumbing, things just don't always go right. And the, you know, the flex tube that comes out of the back of the toilet, mine was all rusted up and didn't quite go back together correctly, so there was a leak, and so he's got to come back on Wednesday and fix that. Otherwise, it's done.
So more tomorrow.
Yes.
That's all I got, right? More tomorrow.
Well, they're coming tomorrow, yeah.
You know, my dad, so people don't know, but my family was very, very wealthy, and when I became a Christian, I got very, very 86th out of my family. And but my dad was in construction. So they built hospitals, apartment complexes, uh-huh. Big, 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 big stuff. So I met his main plumber. I'll be very careful how I say this. And he said, young Dave, because he was a bigger guy and an older guy. He said, here's the key. Everything floats downhill and payday's on Friday. That's what he told me. That's the only thing I remember from all of those people. And there was lots of them. Okay. Well, we'll move on because if I stay in that realm, it won't go well. So we'll catch up with you tomorrow to get an update there. We are going to pick up where I was talking in a second because I was talking about unity amongst brothers and sisters. And now I'm going to talk about a disunity in religions. Yeah, this is not – I didn't even plan it this way. It just turned out this way. But before we get there, I want to give a shout-out to Pamela Melchionne.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's
Melchionne. See, by now, if you ever hear that song, you should just call her and say, I got a real estate issue. I think we've done enough association. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. Look. You've heard me talk about it. If you've got something going on in real estate, get in touch with Pamela, and she'll talk to you. Doesn't no cost, no anything, nothing. Just talk to her. Find out. Get some peace of mind. Get some information before you go. It's funny because the children of Israel, they sent spies before they went into the promised land. Get some pre-information. Get some information going before you get into the realm. That's a good idea. TheBlessedRealtyCompany.com. The Blessed Realty Company.com. Get in touch with Pamela. Tell her you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. All right, so We'll do a trivia question, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm gonna go slow on that because I want to – well, I'm going to do the trivia question in just a second. I want to make sure you understand when I was talking about the unity of the brothers and the sisters, that did not include other religions. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying there? I'm talking about people that name the name of Jesus Christ. There's a big, another big brouhaha, whatever that is. I don't even know what they call that anymore. Where they're talking about, well, you know, it's all the same God. Everybody's praying to the same God. Absolutely false. Absolutely 100% incorrect. In fact, the Shema, which is in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. There's one God, there's one Lord, there's one King. The manifestation of that one God has come to us in the understanding of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you are in the Muslim faith, you think we're nuts. If you are in the Christian faith, you think the Muslim people are nuts. It's not the same God, period. And Jesus is not the same as a prophet. There's this problem here in the mentality of people thinking, well, you know, they have their prophet and they have their prophet and they have their prophet. Wrong. I'm going to read something to you, then we'll get to the trivia. This is out of Mark chapter 14. Verse 60, 62, then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. So in verse 61, the guy goes, are you the one? Are you the dude? Verse 62. Now watch what Jesus says. Yes. Yes. Yipper skipper. Some people actually say that when Jesus said, I am, he didn't say yes. Those people are idiotic. Don't even pay attention. When he goes, are you the one? Jesus goes, yep, I am. I'm the guy. And there's actually a Princeton professor that says, well, he didn't actually say yes. That's how dumb that gets, right? I mean, that's so lame. It's unbelievable. Here's the bottom line. Here's the big difference with Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. Big, big, big difference. All of these other religions have prophets and spokespeople. Jesus isn't just a prophet, and he's certainly not just a spokesperson. He's God, and he said so. He said, I'm it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And when he said, my Father is always at work, just so you can catch, these are these nuances, you guys, that we all need to really kind of get a hold of. When Jesus was teaching people to pray, he said, our Father, right? Giving it that plurality for all of us. But when he identified himself here as operating as God, he said, my Father, not our Father. By saying my Father, he made himself equal with God. The Jewish leaders knew it and tried to kill him because of it. All these interpretations and all these weird things, it says right there, he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. In no place does Jesus go, you know, I'm one of many. Eh, there's a whole bunch of us. We all kind of get together. Yeah, we smoke a peace pipe and we talk about things, the weather, the sunset. It's nothing like that. If you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you are functioning with a completely different God than the people of the Muslims, than the Muslim faith. Because they don't believe that there is a Son, and they certainly don't believe there's a Holy Spirit. It's not the same. I go with the Billy Graham Association on this. I go with Albert Mueller on this. It's like, it's not the same God. It's nothing like that. And I'm just going to drop this in because I want to feel like I'm irritating enough people at one time. And when Jesus talked about false gods, where do you think he was talking? What do you think he was talking about? It's like false gods are not just like the government trying to be God. It's people that actually worship false gods. See how that goes? See when he was talking about that? So I'm trying to get you to understand. Jesus is not up there going, yeah, I'm a rep. I rep the company. It's not like I rep the company. He is the gate. He is the way. He is the door. And oh, by the way, since heaven is God's home, watch this. You don't call God up and go, hey, I'm coming over to your house and I'm telling you how I'm coming in your house. When somebody comes to my house, I say, come in the front door, come in the back door, come in the garage, come in this, my house, you come in my way. Heaven is God's house, you come in his way. His way, Jesus Christ, is the door. Want to get in? There it is. You're like, well, no, because it's all based on good works. You will never have enough good works. Even if you're a great person, you've sinned at least 292,000 times in your lifetime. That pretty much takes care of it. Just do the math. It's over. You're done. You need grace. Well, that grace is given through Jesus Christ. Bam! Isn't that good? I like that. That's right. I'm having fun. And you should be too. So now you know that difference. It's not your brothers and sisters in the Lord, but the other people, they ain't your brothers and sisters. The ones, especially the ones who deny Christ. Come on. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience. I promise with trivia when we get back. Right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas. 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, all amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally, an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11. All the way up, they're louder.
I have saved the best for the last. Because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car!
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly, he's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED. Because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLEST or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I should tell you, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. Okay, I should let you know those things. That's probably a good idea. I forget. I don't know. I have all these papers. I try to remember as much as I can. We're going to do our trivia question, and then after I do the trivia question, we will do our sponsorship. But before I do the trivia question, before I do the sponsorship, I just want to say it's by your love for one another. It's by the love we have for one another. That's a testimony, not the way that we state our doctrine. You know, it's that love that we have for each other that is a witness in and of itself. But I did want to make a very quick comment because I think of these things all the time. You know, we were talking last segment talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people was like, well, the Holy Spirit's like a power. It's just like a power. It's not a person. It's funny because the Bible says that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. So the last time I checked, I wasn't able to look at my lamp and the electricity running through my lamp and say to my lamp electricity, my, you're looking thin today. So you can't really lie to electricity. You can only lie to a personage. Okay, so I just thought I'd throw that in there for those that are just having a hard time with it. See, you can't do it that way. And also it says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. There's a quench passage. That one you can probably go in different directions, but grieve means to make sad. I don't think I can make my electricity going to the lamp sad by saying I like coal instead of electricity. All right. Anyhow, those are just kind of the things that I think about in my spare time, which tells you I have way too much. Here's my trivia question for you today. Who said Paul's letters are hard to understand? Who said Paul's letters are hard to understand? 972-445-0770. Not every trivia means money. That's all I got for you. That's all I can say. Kind of up to my wife half the time. 972-445-0770. Who said Paul's letters? Hard to understand. This segment is brought to you, by the way, by Jamie Blumenthal. I'm telling you, I just see him walking down the stage and all right! Retirement Strategies and Solutions. Jamie's going to be in studio tomorrow, 800-287-1667. It's really simple. The Isaiah talks about noble plans for noble purposes, and that's what they try to do at Retirement Strategies and Solutions. Jamie and his wife, Nancy, try to make it so that you're planning right, you're retiring right, you're retiring the right way, which is why you can go to retiretherightway.com. retiretherightway.com. That is their website. They do, you know, they do these seminars. I think they do them either weekly or every other week, or they do them like on Tuesdays and the next week after they're on Thursdays, and they pay for people. People come and they meet with them, and they have like a lunch or a dinner. They have a dinner, and they talk about ways to make sure that the money you have is safe. And safe is really important, especially as you're making the best to have noble plans, which is important, for noble purposes. You're not trying to, you know, do anything weird. Trying to just utilize the work that you've done and be the best steward you can be. That's what Jamie and Nancy will help you do with the money that you've saved up. RetireTheRightWay.com, 800-287-1667. Look forward to having Jamie in the studio tomorrow. Looking forward to that. All right, we're going to get to our teaching, but let's go back to the question. I know it wasn't the easiest question, but the one after, it's much harder. So who said Paul's letters are hard to understand? It's a writer in the Bible. And it's important to grasp that he said they're hard to understand, but it's the unstable and unlearned people that twist his letters into self-destruction. But who said that? Who wrote that, I should say? Who wrote that? Maybe I said that incorrectly. Who wrote Paul's letters are hard to understand? Here's the only hint I'll give you. It's in the last quarter of the Bible, which really is not fair because the first three quarters is really the Old Testament. Okay, it's in the New Testament, past the Gospels. Okay, there you go. Now you got to hunt it down. Our number, if I can remember it, is 972-445-0770. A little tougher question. The one after it's much tougher, so if you think that's bad, you should see what's coming on there. Okay, I want to talk to you about Habakkuk. Habakkuk, and this is chapter 3, verse 17. Now, there's some people that think it's Habakkuk, but it's Habakkuk. I know it's really close, right? Habakkuk, Habakkuk, is that an issue of fellowship? No. Like we said, it depends on whether you're from Jersey or from Detroit. Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17. Listen to this. This is a fabulous portion. We talked a little bit about this last week. And if you can catch this, if I could catch this, I would be doing better as a Christian. I would walk a better walk. Here's what Habakkuk said. Though the fig tree does not bud, and though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Wow. It just makes me want to be a Christian, so to speak, because, I mean, I just look at that and think I'm so far from that. First of all, he names six yuck things. Yeah, we use theology terms like yuck, because people understand that. Fig tree doesn't bud, no grapes on the vines, olive crop fails, fields produce no food, no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls. That is a lot of yuck. It's like, yeah. That's like six different disasters. Every one of them is a failing of production. It is, in essence, in some capacity, a failure of provision in the context of not having a plenty of resource in this situation. In this particular look, Habakkuk is talking about six different – he's talking about the fig trees, the grapes, the olives, the food, the sheep, and the cattle. And he says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I love it when I have a conversation with the person that goes, well, you're not supposed to give God for thanks for everything. And it's like, yes, you are. It's like, well, no, not everything. No, yes, you are. Because giving praise is a choice. It's not a response. You can make a choice. Now, there are responses. I don't want to eliminate that completely. But it is a choice for you. Rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18 talk about. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And it's like, it's a decision to rejoice. It's a decision to be rejoicing in the Lord, in the joyfulness of God your Savior. How is it possibly a decision? It's really quite forward and quite simple. If you focus on what's not producing, it's easy to understand why it's yucky. But if you focus on what God has produced and what he will yet produce, it's easy to have a joy. Maybe at the moment, things are thin. In my life, my body is not thin, my wallet is. Okay? Got it? You understand that? If my wallet was as big as my body, I'd be in bank. I'd be doing great. But it's not. Yet I have a decision to make. Oftentimes I fail in this decision process, but there are times where I do better, and I believe that I can do even better, and I believe you can do better than I can do. And that is, I make a decision to rejoice. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's another decision. I will fear no evil. You don't have to be afraid, yet I will rejoice. You don't have to be depressed. You can rejoice. It's a choice, and it's a choice based on trust. So sometimes when I don't rejoice, I'm not trusting. Sometimes when I do rejoice, I'm exhibiting moments of faith, confidence that God will come through again. The question to ask yourself is not did this relationship fail or not did this happen to this happen, but has God ever abandoned you? Has he ever failed you? Or have you walked through the process, failed, and God has still been there by your side, never quitting on you? That doesn't mean that you didn't go through a lot of garbage. It doesn't mean that it wasn't hard. It doesn't mean it wasn't frustrating. But God didn't say, oh, it's getting tough in here, I'm out. Because he doesn't quit on his kids. I have children. And they have done a lot of dumb things. And they will do more dumb things. And they will even say even dumber things about their dad. But I will not stop being their dad. I will not stop loving them. I will not stop being there for them every chance I can be. Get that? If that's true for me, how much more true for God? So with all that stuff going on, yet I will. I choose to. I will rejoice. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am. Who is David Spoon?
We have on the line Tina from Elkhorn. Tina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Is this the first time you've heard the show?
No, I listen to you every time I get into my car when I leave my job.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Is there anything that we can be praying for just to be in agreement with you regarding anything that the Lord's working on in you?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, fire away.
First of all, I'd like to see my family's hearts turned. Second of all, I am not putting God first, and I'm not being obedient in certain ways. Let me sum it up a little bit. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
I should answer it. So I really need prayer to get back on track with God.
Okay, let me pray with you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we lift up Tina to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that first and foremost you would work on her family's hearts, that there'd be a softening and that there'd be a grace and a mercy given to the family and between the relationship that Tina has with the family, and we just pray that your mercy would prevail, and we just pray that you would encourage her. Instead of this being a discouragement, let this become an encouragement that she is a daughter of the Most High, seeking out help from her Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most frustrating experiences a person can go through is having body pain. It's also difficult to watch one of your loved ones go through that same type of pain. Since we moved to Texas, my wife has quite a bit of bodily pain. Knowing that my wife is getting better because she's going to Dr. Brandon Brown, now that's a true blessing. I share with you my recommendation for Dr. B. Go to his website at drbrandonbrown.com or call him at his office, 972-454-9362. I've entrusted him with the care of my wife, and I'm confident that any person who listens to our radio show will get the same type of quality service. And by the way, it's Migraine Awareness Month, and that pain in your head could be from your back. Get in touch with Dr. B and find out. Go to his website at drbrandonbrown.com or call him at his office, 972-454-9362.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to give an answer to that trivia question. I think some people were like, what? It's not an easy question, right? I mean, the question was, who said Paul's letters are hard to understand? That comes out of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. That's right, digging deep there, folks. This is what it says. He referring to Paul, actually verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Wow. That's those are people that take parts and bits of the Word of God and mold it for their own little purposes and twist the word because they are unstable and unlearned. That Greek word, by the way, is uneducated, but it is more like unlearned by experience, not just some type of educational system that you go through like in a schooling or whatever the case may be. But it was Peter who said, man, that guy's writing is up there. So I'm really glad I didn't ask you the second question, because the second question has to do with the Hall of Fame of Faith and who was the last proper name that was used in there. Nobody was going to get that. Just for those that want to know, it was Samuel. But, I mean, that's just one of those toughies. Let's do this. Let's give acknowledgement to our good friend John.
Big John. Big John.
The Blessed Roofing Company, John, our good friend. So that big storm that happened, it wasn't even a big storm, it was a short storm, but it was a lot of water happened yesterday. Those are the kind of things that can create problems on your roof right there. So if you want a free inspection, no cost, give them a call and they'll come down. They'll do the inspection, no obligation, no requirements in any capacity. 469-BLESSED. 469-BLESSED. You can also go to the blessedroofingcompany.com. They do free inspections. You could have a roof replacement or a roof repair. There might be zero money out of pocket. You got to check. You got to find out. You're paying for the roof insurance. You might as well know what's going on. So you got a Christian roofing contractor who's willing to do a free inspection, make sure it's done right, make sure it's done properly. And this way you can know what's going on. You don't have to have any concern about what's sitting over your head, which is relatively important. In this case, we're talking about the roof, right? So if you were going to temple, it'd be a yarmulke. In this case, it's a roof. Here's the bottom line. You need to make sure that your roof doesn't have problems, leaks, issues, and it needs to be safe, and you're paying for that to take place. So get that inspection. Have it done. It's free. TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. Or call John at 469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED. Okay. I don't know. I love stuff like this. I don't know what it is. I like scripture. I like talking about the Bible. I'm just one of those guys. I do my devotions in the morning, and then I spend another half hour after my devotion doing the research behind it because I think it's fascinating. And in lieu of that, we were just talking about Habakkuk and how, you know, there's the six different things that he announced that were not going well, and yet he made the decision to still rejoice in the Lord. It's a conscious decision, a decision that you and I make. And I want to pull something that connects directly to it, which is why I love this stuff, because I didn't plan it. And that is in Nahum, which is another Old Testament prophet. In chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him." And I want to talk about that because we hear a lot about that phrase, "The Lord is good." And you'll hear it, you know, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And we'll do all these different phrases and all these different sayings, and then we just kind of move on and not really get into the depth of it. And I want to take a moment to make sure we understand what that's talking about. When it says that God is good, we're talking about the quality of God. I want you to hear that phrase. I've used it before, and I'll use it again. The quality of God. If God's quality is lacking, we would all be really in trouble. God is not only good, he's great. And God does not let his people down. In fact, in that passage, it says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble." A refuge is a shelter from the storm. You ever seen one of those lean-tos where it's raining and somebody puts up a lean-to and it's raining and that keeps the water off them? That's where it comes from. And he cares for those that trust in him. So God has this care. He has this compassion. I hate to do this, but I will. Some people will understand this, but you'll see a situation. Last night we were watching a show, and they saved what's a young deer, a doe? Is that what they call it? I think that's what they call it. I don't know. Is that right? That seems like it's right.
I believe so.
Yeah, okay.
If it's female, I think.
Yeah, and it got stuck in a sewer. And so they were pulling it out. And you should have heard my wife. Oh, you know, even the dog and I were looking at each other like going, what's going on around here? So, is that funny? So my point is there's a caring that goes on. She's so caring for this doe that she's never met that's by a sewer that's stuck. She doesn't know the mom. She doesn't know the dad. She doesn't know the family. She doesn't know if that doe ate somebody's food and then just fell over because it was fat and then get stuck in the sewer. I don't know. But she had such care and compassion. God has a greater sense of care for you and I. Now, the reason I bring that up is because sometimes they drop in that commercial on television and they show you the dogs. You're just like, oh, I wish I had $1 million. I'd throw it right at them right now. Because why? Because it's the saddest thing to see, like, dogs are like they're chained up, or anybody that abuses a dog is a horrid person. You know, just nothing anybody can say about that. But if that's the level that we think, then what's the level that God has? That's all I'm going for here. All I'm doing is a comparison. If I could sit there and look at one of those commercials and go, the other day I had to take Levi in for some shots. And so while he was in the back and they were doing whatever they were doing to him, I walked over and they were showing, so they had some kitty cats. And I'm not a big kitty cat guy, just so you can know. But this one cat was looking at me and trying to, you know, make connection, whatever. And you're just like going, oh, I wish that I could get a kitty cat. Okay, that lasted about a second, but that's not the point. The point is, if I am touched that quickly by something like that, how is God touched when he sees you longing not just for fellowship but needing help? Or how does God feel when you need shelter? How does God feel when those things are going on? And you think, well, that seems like a ridiculous comparison. Not at all. I think it's not at all a ridiculous comparison. When I look at my dog, who's a part of our family, and I think that dog doesn't know where the food's coming from, doesn't know when we're going to be doing this, that, or whatever, but always loves it when we're together, and all these different principles. He is completely dependent on us for survival. Well, I don't see that as different. I'm completely dependent on the Lord for survival. I can do some things on my own, but if God allowed a freeze to come in, I'd be out. Just saying. Or if oxygen left the planet, I'd be done, right? You can go 7 days without food. Try and go 7 minutes without oxygen. Let me know how that goes. So my point is that God has this care, and the quality of God's care is greater than the quality of our care. And why is that important? Because you and I need to understand that God loves us in a, not in this philosophical, gaseous, he's on Pluto kind of concept where he's the overseer of the universe and is just up there going, oh, oh. He loves us so much he became one of us. I'll use Billy Graham's story because it's not mine. I didn't invent it or create it. It's just a great story. Father and son walking in a back lot, come across an anthill that somebody has stepped on. Father turns to the son and says, how can we help them, son? Son goes, I don't know. He said, the only way to help them is to become an ant and go down and help them. That's what God did. We got stepped on by Satan. God became one of us in order to help us. That's the level of care. That's the quality of God. You get through all this ridiculous left and right and political this and that and whatever, and man, the same message, if the Lord tarries and we're here for another 100 years or 200 years, it's going to be the same core message that moves the gospel across people's lives. The love that God has for us, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, now is an excellent time to start. Right now. Before the next minute finishes. Just ask him to be a part of your life. Tell him you surrender. Sorry for your sin. Acknowledge him as Lord. That's it. You'll be a brand new person. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk with you then.
My child, I knew you.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.